No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 11th day of September. September. A good song is a good song. I'm Jill. It's so good to be here with you. And I can hardly believe it, but we are creeping our way to the middle of this month. And I don't know if you all know what this means, but we will be turning the page out of the old and into the new within, I'm not going to give it away. We're real close, and I'm so excited to turn that page together with all of you. In Chronological, we make a long trek through the Old Testament, and it's symbolic of so many different things that the old can feel so long, and getting to the new is so exciting, but seasons have to run their course. And so here we are together in the waiting, in the itching, in the stretching, in the uncomfortability. But it's all coming, all things new. And we're going to get to this man named Jesus. And some things are going to click, some things are going to become more clear and more bright. And then at the same time, some things are going to become less black and white. And that's okay. That's good. That is when our faith becomes our own and not just this handed down ritual, controlled narrative that might lack depth and might lack truth, if we're just being honest. But for now, in the here and now, we will read Ezekiel chapters 44 and 45. And this week we're reading the New Living Translation, Ezekiel chapter 44. Then the man brought me back to the east gateway in the outer wall of the temple area, but it was closed. And the Lord said to me, "This gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No one will ever open it and pass through, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence, but he may come and go only through the entry room of the gateway." Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, take careful notice. Use your eyes and ears and listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning the Lord's temple. Take careful note of the procedures for using the temple's entrances and exits, and give these rebels, the people of Israel, this message from the sovereign Lord. O people of Israel, enough of your detestable sins. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary, people who have no heart for God. In this way, you defiled my temple, even as you offered me my food, the fat and blood of sacrifices. In addition to all your other detestable sins, you have broken my covenant. Instead of safeguarding my sacred rituals, you have hired foreigners to take charge of my sanctuary. So this is what the sovereign Lord says: no foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary if they have not been circumcised and have not surrendered themselves to the Lord. And the men of the tribe of Levi who abandoned me when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness. They may still be temple guards and gatekeepers, and they may slaughter the animals brought for burnt offerings and be present to help people. They encouraged my people to worship idols, causing Israel to fall into deep sin. So I have taken a solemn oath that they must bear the consequences for their sins, says the Sovereign Lord. They may not approach me to minister as priests. They may not touch any of my holy things or the holy offerings, for they must bear the shame of all the detestable sins they have committed. They are to serve as the temple caretakers, taking charge of the maintenance work and performing general duties. However, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok continued to minister faithfully in the temple when Israel abandoned me for idols. These men will serve as my ministers. They will stand in my presence and offer the fat and blood of the sacrifices, says the Sovereign Lord. They alone will enter my sanctuary and approach my table to serve me. They will fulfill all my requirements. When they enter the gateway to the inner courtyard, they must wear only linen clothing. They must wear no wool while on duty in the inner courtyard or in the temple itself. They must wear linen turbans and linen undergarments. They must not wear anything that would cause them to perspire. When they return to the outer courtyard where the people are, they must take off the clothes they wear while ministering to me. They must leave them in the sacred rooms and put on the other clothes so they do not endanger anyone by transmitting holiness to them through this clothing. They must neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow too long. Instead, they must trim it regularly. The priests must not drink wine before entering the inner courtyard. They may choose their wives only from among the virgins of Israel or the widows of the priests. They may not marry other widows or divorced women. They will teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is common, what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They will serve as judges to resolve any disagreements among my people. Their decisions must be based on my regulations, and the priests themselves must obey my instructions and decrees at all the sacred festivals and see to it that the Sabbaths are set apart as holy days. A priest must not defile himself by being in the presence of a dead person unless it is his father, mother, child, brother, or unmarried sister. In such cases, it is permitted. Even then, he can return to his temple duties only after being ceremonially cleansed and then waiting for 7 days. The first day he returns to work and enters the inner courtyard and the sanctuary, he must offer a sin offering for himself, says the Sovereign Lord. The priests will not have any property or possession of land, for I alone am their special possession. Their food will come from the gifts and sacrifices brought to the temple by the people, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings. Whatever anyone sets apart for the Lord will belong to the priests. The first of the ripe fruits and all the gifts brought to the Lord will go to the priests. The first batch of dough must also be given to the priests, so the Lord will bless your homes. The priests may not eat meat from any bird or animal that dies a natural death or that dies after being attacked by another animal. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy. A section of this land measuring 875 feet by 875 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land 87.5 feet wide is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside for a city where anyone in Israel can live. 2 special sections of land will be set apart for the prince. 1 section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the 2nd section will share a border on the west side. Then the far eastern and western borders of the prince's lands will line up with the eastern and western boundaries of the tribal areas. These sections of land will be the prince's allotment. Then my princes will no longer oppress and rob my people. They will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. For this is what the sovereign Lord says: Enough, you princes of Israel. Stop your violent and oppression and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and cheating my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes, says the sovereign Lord. Use only honest weights and scales and honest measures, both dry and liquid. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weight will be the silver shekel. 1 shekel will consist of 20 gerahs, and 60 shekels will be equal to 1 mina. You must give this tax to the prince: 1 bushel of wheat or barley for every 60 you harvest, 1% of your olive oil, and 1 sheep or goat for every 200 in your flocks in Israel. These will be the grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings that will make atonement for the people who bring them, says the sovereign Lord. All the people of Israel must join in bringing these offerings to the prince. The prince will be required to provide offerings that are given at the religious festivals, the new moon celebrations, the Sabbath days, and all other similar occasions. He will provide the sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, liquid offerings, and peace offerings to purify the people of Israel, making them right with the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says: In early spring, on the first day of each new year, sacrifice a young bull with no defects to purify the temple. The priest will take blood from this sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, the 4 corners of the upper ledge of the altar, and the gateposts at the entrance to the inner courtyard. Do this also on the 11th day of the new year for anyone who has sinned through error or ignorance. In this way, you will purify the temple. On the 14th day of the first month, you must celebrate the Passover. This festival will last for 7 days. The bread you eat during that time must be made without yeast. On the day of Passover, the prince will provide a young bull as a sin offering for himself and the people of Israel. On each of the 7 days of the feast, he will prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, consisting of 7 young bulls and 7 rams without defects. A male goat will also be given each day for a sin offering. The prince will provide a basket of flour as a grain offering and a gallon of olive oil with each young bull and ram. During the 7 days of the Festival of Shelters, which occurs every year in early autumn, the prince will provide these same sacrifices for the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the grain offering, along with the required olive oil. Okay, we touched on this just a little bit yesterday. It's going to continue spill over into today as we near the end of the book of Ezekiel together. Ezekiel has a vision of a forthcoming restored temple of God. And there are specifications within the rebuilding of the new temple. The specifications are symbolic. They are meaningful to God. But the point that we have to hold on to and remember is that it is not about the building, and it is not about the specifications. It is about the worship of our heart that we bring into a place of worship. And right now, we're seeing a rebuilding of the temple. But what we're going to witness over time, and as we go into the New Testament, is an evolving of the temple, and evolving a place that goes beyond a temple, a place, a building of worship, to where we become the temple, the dwelling of the presence of God, the glory of God. Now, if we're not careful, some people will interpret that God deserves the best. And if my body is the temple, it should be adorned with the latest and greatest overpriced clothing. God deserves the highest praise. Hallelujah. Do you remember earlier in the year when Moses is leading the people and the people were groaning and complaining, and it infuriated God? And he commanded them to take off all of their jewelry, all of their makeup, remove their makeup, and remove their fancy clothing. They were no longer allowed to dress the part, to hide behind the facade. And it's not just hiding behind a facade, it is an illusion of prestige, an illusion of wealth, an illusion of someone that we're not. Now, is there anything wrong with makeup and jewelry? And that is to your own discretion. That's not what I'm here to say. When it is used to hide behind or to exalt ourselves to someone and something that we are not, that's where it becomes an issue. And I'll be the first to say, there's few people that loves clothing more than me. I have to really, really be careful. I love fashion. I love to express myself through clothing and a creative outlet. I mean, when I was young, I was like, the diaper is not gonna do it. And I have to be careful that I feel less than, that I don't feel enough. If I don't have the right clothing to express myself, I hear this and I hear how ridiculous it sounds to my own self, but it's something that I really do love. But I have to be careful when it comes to ourselves as the temple. This is why we have continuously talked about the condition of our heart this year. The condition of our heart sets the stage of all life. We read it in Proverbs. From the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart, for it is the epicenter of all things that flow forth. That's completely paraphrased, by the way. The temple is the indwelling, the inward. It is not the outward. It is what is inside. And so as we hear the reading of the measurements, they are symbolic to God. The structure, I mean, it's a temple for God. He gets to decide what to call it, how to construct it, how to build it. And that is because, again, there's work. It requires intentionality. The intention behind the symbolism is meaningful to God. But what is more meaningful than the instructions of the temple is the heart of the person that comes to meet with God and worship Him, and how we worship Him. Are we living our lives that would be worthy of worship to God? Or are we creating moments of worship on full display to feed our ego, to feed our rightness, to show the world how good and right we think we have it? and yet it doesn't even touch the heart of God. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your glory. We worship you, God, in spirit and in truth, the truth of who you are. We thank you for who you are. It's not about what you can do for us. It's who you are to us. May we be pleasing as who we are to you. May we live a life worthy of your name. May you find us righteous, to be right standing with you, because of our character, because of what we do behind closed doors. Not just on Sunday morning, not just when a camera is rolling, not just what we present to the world through social media, but who we are, how we live the rest of the week, how we live behind closed doors, how we live within our own secret places. And I pray, God, that we would prune our heart, we would condition the soil, we would produce good fruit. We cannot do this without your help. We pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's talk about that live last night, shall we? That was so fun. It was so great to see all of you, sort of. I mean, thankful for modern technology. I can see you in the only way that we could see you in that way. But so great for you to show up and to support what we're doing here. And so proud of Ezekiel, our little man's growing up, and just really grateful to God for being out of that season of life of just severe anxiety and panic. It's awful. Just a helpless feeling when we can't fix it. We can't just take it all away for them. We can't sometimes, but we can be with them. We can walk them through it. We can't just avoid it and tell them to get over it. It didn't work for us, and it's not going to work for them. So thankful that that's behind, and I'm grateful to God that through his experience, perhaps, we can just help some of you bigs and maybe some of you with littles that might be experiencing the same sort of thing. So thank you for showing up, and what a beautiful community you are. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you, and we are grateful that we don't have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the mobile app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for the give icon on the website. The website is dailyaudiobible.com. If you need prayer, if you would like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or accessing the mobile app. Again, hit the red circle button that is up at the top midsection. When you are finished, hit submit, then take your finger, turn that little wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We will turn the page together tomorrow, and we are going to finish the book of Ezekiel together tomorrow. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
This is Victoria Sinvacaville. On January 16, 2025, I was diagnosed with limb-onset amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, known as ALS, a fatal neurodegenerative disease, and I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I walk with a rollator. My right hand and arm have atrophied. I do not want a tracheotomy, a feeding tube, or an ostomy bag. I want to be able to dress myself and go to the restroom by myself. Please pray that God would have mercy on me, that I would be able to give those without hope, hope, and I would glorify God until he takes me home. My hubby takes good care of me. Blessings to you.
Hello, my beautiful Dad C family. Oh, Viv, I loved your energy and how fun to meet you and have you used Kingdom Seeker Daniel's beautiful greeting. How creative you are, and you put so much in the 2 minutes. I, too, am not ever going to miss Forget China, and I'm secretly hoping that she pops into that live on Tuesday, hint, hint. I hope this message gets to them, that she can at least swing by with or without her precious daughters to say hi to us. But she's doing motherhood duties, and we're so proud of her. And dear Victoria Soldier, so grateful to have your voice back, and praise the Lord for healing and victory, because you are definitely a prayer warrior, and we're so appreciative of you and your signature voice. Hugs and blessings, and come up stronger than ever. I see you just stronger than ever, dear Victoria Soldier, you are. And I'm calling in for a mutual dabber that I found out was on here that I've known in real life, IRL, after my friend invited me a few years ago, Kathy, shout out Kathy and her jewels. And then my dear friend, Julie and Steve, I'm praying for Steve for healing. Join me in praying for healing. He's got a serious neurological issue with just in constant pain. We just pray healing in the name of Jesus over his body and the body of Christ, Lord. We do lift up the families that are broken, that you're the healer, and we just declare a victory like precious Kingdom Seeker Daniel's victory. And my family needs that too, and I'm in need of some prayer needs, but Lord, I know that as we lift up others and we help others, God lifts us up. So hugs and prayers. I love you all. Shalom, shalom. And keep going by grace.
Hello, DABC family. This is Diana from Florida, and wow, is God amazing. Because as I was listening to the September 7th podcast, right after the recording for me praying for John Pope to be released in Jesus' name, a recording of John Pope comes forth where he is letting all of us know that he has been set free. Jesus, you are amazing, God, and I just want to worship you and praise you alongside my DABC community for this amazing answer to prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you because your truth has indeed set John Pope free. Thank you because justice has been served, and now he gets to start from the bottom, rebuilding the new building. Lord God, I pray that he will be reminded of the fact that the lowest of lowest rocks, oddly shaped as they are, is the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And his heart posture, his whole frame of mind, must always be rooted on that cornerstone. Father God, I pray that you would guide him and give him wisdom, God, as he tries to navigate rebuilding from the ashes, the relationship anew with his wife and his family and children. I pray, Lord God, that you would provide a stable employment for him, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you would also lead and guide him to preach your gospel as he so desires. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.